Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Turn over there to Psalms 91. Psalms 91. It says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And from that place, I will say, you're my refuge and my fortress, and you are whom I trust. Amen. The shelter of the Almighty is in His presence. And I'll tell you, if you can learn to practice His presence Monday through Saturday, imagine what we do when we come together on Sunday. We could be all in one accord in one place. How many know if you're not in the If you're not in one accord, then you're short. Anyway, that's a bad joke. I'll just leave it there. But I just love His presence. Father, we just praise You and bless You this morning. We thank You for Your presence here. We thank You that You are the teacher, Holy Spirit, that You open the eyes of our understanding, that You give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of You. And thank You for opening the eyes of our understanding so that we understand the power of Your Word, the power of Your words, and the fact that You have good plans for every human being on this planet, and we just so appreciate Your fellowship with us. And the Word truly is true when it says, no weapon formed against you prospers. And no evil comes near your dwelling because He does give His angels charge over you. Amen. Well, if you would, open your Bibles to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. We've been teaching a series on the core values. Really, they're core values of the new creation man. But I want you to understand this too. How many know the new creation man? We refer to it as the new creation, you know, the call it Christians or whatever. But how many understand that the creator of the universe designed every human being that's breathing, past, present, and future, to live at this level as a new creation? And so what we're finding from the Spirit of God is He's endeavoring to break down theological boundaries in our thought processes and give you a wider, more expansive perspective and view, not from a theological standpoint, but from the standpoint of Father. What does He see? And we said that so far we've talked about the fact that you need to see yourself in the mirror of the new creation. You've got to understand that you are not just a natural human being. From the time that you were born on this planet, you have been told and reinforced by a natural system that you are a certain person, and this is the way you are, and this is the way you think, and this is the way your perspectives are, and this is just the way it is. But the reality of it is your identity didn't start when you were born. The Word of God reveals that your identity really was locked up and was already established before you were ever put on the planet. Because the Creator of the universe said, I know your end from the beginning. Well, how is it that He knows your end from the beginning? The reason He knows your end from the beginning is because in the realm where He is at, in eternity, there is no present or there is no future tense. There is no past tense. There's only now. And so sometimes we have a hard time understanding that when we read things in Scripture, especially in Old Testament writings, we read them in the future tense. And we forget that the Spirit of God is speaking from the now tense where He's at. He's not only speaking from the now tense, He's speaking from a tense that's never changed. It's never been past tense. And it's not talking about future tense, it's talking about right now. Because where He's at, that's the real reality. Now is the real reality in eternity. So when we read, promises and things in the Old Testament, we need to understand that He's really speaking from a place of what exists right now and what has always existed. That's why it will always exist in the future. Do you understand that? So can we put on our perception and our understanding of living from the place of eternity, not living from the place of the natural arena where you are right now? Because if you do that, so much of what man's theology has become is rooted in a man's perspective of being locked into the natural arena. And so I'm going to show you some things today. We're talking about the core value that we give the Word of God, or we could say the words of God, final authority, that we're believers who put the accuracy of the Word of God, listen, as it's revealed by the Spirit of truth, as John put it in 1 John. We put it first before our own personal opinions. Folks, I tell you, if we just master that, we'll be so much farther along. Part of the challenge that we have, and this is the thing that maybe confuses natural men who are not a part of the setting of different organizations that have been established in the earth as far as, the church goes. Maybe the reason why those things have done that is because somewhere along the way somebody decided to latch onto something that made sense. And then a bunch of people gathered around that thought. And all it was something that a natural man came up with out of his mind to bridge A with B, or A with C. And it really wasn't where he was supposed to stop and camp. He was supposed to stay in connection with the Spirit of God and let the Spirit of God bring him along in his understanding to bring him into the full perspective of things. But because it didn't make sense to the natural mind, and because the natural arena was much more real to a human being than the things that the Spirit of God was familiar with, they stopped and they just camped. And so you have all these different perspectives. And so much of it, what it really produces is just a natural perspective and a natural reading of Scripture, and you just kind of, well, this is what I think this believes. This is what I believe this Scripture means. And you have, 47 people in the room and 47 different interpretations of the Scripture, when the only interpretation that matters is the one they're not asking. And that's the Spirit of God. Because He's the one that knows what that verse means, because it came from the realm of eternity, not from the natural arena. So, Psalms 119, verse 89 says, forever. Everybody say forever. Understand when he says forever, guys, you got to get this. See, because you will even read this verse in future tense. We read the word forever as future tense. When the reality, he's not talking about future tense, he's talking about forever. Always. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and John chapter 1 verse 1 start off the exact same way. Really, it says, in eternity past. But the person who's writing it is writing it from the position of earth. Because eternity doesn't have a past, eternity doesn't have a present, eternity just has a now. Do you get that? So anything that you read in Scripture, even though it sounds like it's future tense, understand that it's already now. Because it always has been. So in Psalms 119, he says, verse 89, forever, Lord, your word is established or settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands. They stand this day according to your ordinances, for all things are your servant. The reason all things are your servant is because whoever's here first calls the shots. Right? And since God has always been in the realm of eternity and Father has always existed, then he always is, therefore he came before anything else. And we also see this in 119 verses 152. He says, of old I have known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. Forever means there's never been a point in time when they didn't exist. There's never been a point in time they didn't exist. And he says everything in this natural, everything that came after that, everything in the natural arena, everything that was upon the earth, all of that is servant to what's forever. Can you see that? And then he goes on to say again in 119 verses 160, he says, the sum or the totality of, or that which is first, or from the beginning, your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. So understand that eternity has always been, eternity is always in the now, it's not future tense and it's not past tense. We put it in those terms so we can understand them. But the fact is, eternity is always now. Isn't it interesting that Hebrews 11 says, now, faith is the substance of, it's the evidence of things that are not seen. Because they are now. They've always been now. When Adam was on the planet, they were now. Before Adam was on the planet, they were now. Okay? Now, go over to John chapter 1. Some of these scriptures review, but we're going someplace. John chapter 1. See, John the Baptist understood this. Notice again what he said. This whole segment is talking about, you know, in the beginning or in eternity past was the Word. Notice there's a capital W there. So we know this is talking about an individual. You could call him the second member of the Godhead. You could call him, you're going to find out that Hebrews 1 calls him Lord. So he's always existed. It says in verse 3, all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, and that light enlightens every man coming into the world. Notice what John the Baptist said in verse 15. John testified, well, first of all, 14 says, the Word became flesh, this is when he came into the earth as a man, and he dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, the glory of an only begotten out from the Father, who was full of grace or full of the presence and the power of God because of the presence of God and truth. verse 15 says, John testified and said about him, this was he whom I said, he comes after me. He has a higher rank than I. Now, notice, you understand, you all know that Jesus, as a human being, was born after John the Baptist, right? Just, you know, everybody knows that. I'm sure if you know the Christmas story, you know that. But notice when John says, I came before him, but he has a higher rank than I do because he existed before me. When did he exist before John the Baptist? In eternity past, all things came into being through him. How did all things come into being through him? Well, Psalm 119. Your word is forever established in heaven, and everything is a servant to your word. So all things came into being through him who spoke the words as God, and those words are present tense, always now. Luke said it like this. Go to Luke chapter 7, verse 23. John said he has a higher rank than I do because he existed before me. That's a principle. And we talked about this in the previous message, the reason why we don't just adhere to the Word of God just because it's a book that we're supposed to, because how many know every religion has a book? And even some of the religious persuasions, they like to prostitute the Bible so they can get you their book. When they really don't care about the Bible, they want you to get their book. When between the two of them, one came out of the mind of a man, the other one didn't. The other one has always been, and it still always is. I said Luke chapter 7, right? Jesus said it this way. John said, the one that has, he's existed before me, so he has a greater, he's a greater rank than me. But Jesus said it this way, and he was referring to John the Baptist, actually. He said, I say to you, in verse 28, chapter 7 of Luke, he says, I say to you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet, he who is least in the kingdom is greater than him. Why? Because the kingdom has always been. It's not future tense. It's not going to be. It's always been. So the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, say it that way, anything that comes out of the kingdom of God is of greater rank and greater influence than anything that comes out of the natural arena. John said, Jesus said, of all the natural people that are born into the planet, John is the greatest. But those born in the kingdom of God, the least of those is greater than the greatest of the natural, which is John. So it tells you, not only does it reaffirm what John said, that he who came after me has a higher rank than I because he existed, because how many know Jesus, his origin is the kingdom, right? He said nobody ascends to the Father, or ascends and descends to the Father except the Son of Man. And that's why he's standing in front, that's why he's standing in front of Nicodemus saying that. He didn't float to the earth. He didn't float off the planet and go up and visit the Father and then come back down. He was talking about, he took his direction and his influence and things, everything that he got. He got it from the kingdom, the realm of eternity. The Holy Spirit with his spirit, right? Y'all following me? It's awful quiet in this Presbyterian church. I'm taking you someplace. So, you know, hopefully when you get there, you'll, Okay, now go over to Hebrews chapter 3. That same truth is communicated like this. Hebrews chapter 3 says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and the high priest of your confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, which was Father, as Moses also was in all of his house. He says in verse 3, for he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Why? Because he came before Moses. And he goes on to say he's been counted more glory than Moses, more worthy of glory than Moses, by just as much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. All things were created by him and for him. He says, for he's the builder of all things, which is God. Now, before I go any further in that verse, go back to chapter 1 of Hebrews. Chapter 1 says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his what? In his what? Everybody say Son. You're going to find that word repeated a lot of times in the next 3 or 4 verses. I want you to get this, guys, because we've read these verses so in a rut that we miss things. And this is the reason why we have so much goofy theology when it comes to what comes from Father and what doesn't. Because we haven't understood this truth that eternity, everything that we see is revealed, future tense in eternity, is also now in eternity, and it's always been now. It's not changing. It's always been. And his word that is established or settled, it's the fruit of that. So it's always existed. It's always been. God didn't change his mind. Eternity's not changing and evolving like a city does. He said he's spoken to us, Father has spoken to us in these last days in his Son, everybody say Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. Now let me ask you a question. Who is the heir of all things? The Son. I hope I just blow your mind this morning. I mean, in a good way. If you walk out of here and say, I don't have a clue what he just said the whole morning, well, then I've completely failed. But he's spoken to us through his Son. He's appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world, or you could say he made the ages. Now, you understand that he's talking about two different individuals here, right? Let me put it this way. He's talking about two different existences of the same individual. Right? Because he's talking about in these last days he's spoken to us in his Son, who is the heir of all things, but that Son who's the heir of all things also created all things. Right? Same individual, two different existences. So he's constantly going back and forth, but he's going to tie those two existences together. He says, He's the heir of all things, through whom he made all who made the world or the ages, and he is the radiance of his glory. He's the exact representation of his nature and upholds all things. He's upholding all things, it's present tense. He's upholding all things by the word of his Father's power. Now notice the next part. When he had made purification of sins. Let me ask you a question. Did he do that when he was the Son, or did he do that when he was the creator of all things? Well, understand that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So, yes, it was a done deal in Father's mind before the foundation of the world. But he still had to become a son and walk it out. Right? So when he walked it out as a human being, went to the cross, he walked out the purification plan. Right? So when he was... when he made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become, everybody say having become as much better than the angels, as he had inherited a more excellent name than they. Everybody say name. Now, here's where I say that we've got stuck in a rut. Because we always read this verse, and if I ask everybody in this room, what name did he inherit that's more excellent than they, everyone's going to say, Jesus. Or if you're in Mexico, you'll say, Jesus. Or if you're in another country, you'll say whatever that name is. But that's not what the scripture's talking about here. In fact, the verse just below it tells you the name that he inherited that's much better than the angels. What does it say? For to which of the angels did he ever say, you're my son? The name that is better than the angels is the name, you're my son. Because he never told any angels, you're my son. See, the contrast in these verses, and you find it in chapter 2 also, is the contrast of from eternity past, who was given greater authority and position in the earth? Angelic beings or man? And from eternity past... see, we read Psalms 8. In fact, just go ahead a chapter. He talks about, you know, going into chapter 2. He says, you know, we don't want to pay close attention to what we've heard, and we don't want to drift away from it. Why? Because it's a religious book and we're supposed to be Christians and we're supposed to read the Word and we're supposed to... this is the way we're supposed to think? No. Because this came from eternity past. It's always existed. It is what runs the entire universe. And the one who created all things. What he's showing us here in chapter 1 is Jesus, the Son, fused together the truth that is eternity with the now that is in this earth realm. Because he talks about the Son being the firstborn into the world. Verse 8, he says, the Son, your throne is forever. I mean, it always has. And then he says in verse 10, you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, the heavens, the works of your hands. So he just tied together the person who was Lord, that created all things, is exactly the same person who is the Son that came into the earth as a man. And when he came into the earth as a man, and Father said, "This is my Son, who I'm well pleased." He's now a human being, but he still has a higher rank than an angel. Because the plan from eternity, what is man that you're mindful of him? Look at, he says, he subjected all things to him and he left nothing that has not been subjected. Verse 8, chapter 2. Verse 9, it says, "But we do see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels as a human being. Jesus, after he made purifications of sin, he sat down at the right hand of Father." I'm bringing what he said in chapter 1 into this. And he said, "Because of the suffering of death, he crowned him with glory and honor as a son. He tasted death for everyone through the grace of God." Verse 10, chapter 2. "For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, as a son, and through whom are all things, as Lord." Are you guys following me? "Through whom are all things, in bringing many," what? "Sons to glory." It says in verse 11, "For both he who sanctifies," that's the Father, the Son, "and those who are sanctified are all from the Father." He's not ashamed to call us his brother. Why? Because, folks, look, your origin as a human being in eternity past has always been in him. I don't care what is going on right now in this physical earth suit. You've got to understand that the real you and the real environment that you were created to function in and live from is that which is now in eternity. Jesus came out of eternity as Lord, creating all things, came into the earth as a man. He paid the price for sins. He was a son as a man. That's why he called himself the Son of Man. When he got done in the natural eradicating the issue of sin off the human race, he basically took what was the plan of Father from eternity and he said, "Now it's so in the temporal and natural realm." He fused together that which has always been in eternity with what is now the truth in this natural arena. And he didn't just make himself be the heir of all things. He turned around and he made every human being on the planet a co-heir with him. Because Daddy calls you sons and daughters. You've obtained a name that is better than that of angels. Which tells you your connection and your foundation for your existence is not from anything that speaks to you in this natural arena. I don't care what your mama said to you when you were growing up. I don't care what your society said to you as you were going up through school. I don't care about any of that stuff. The fact is, the real you and your real identity existed in God. And the Son, after he made purifications of sin, he was given, made heir of all things. He turned around and gave it to you, called you a son, called you a daughter. Everything belongs to you. That's why he says in chapter 3, "You're partakers of a heavenly calling." What's that heavenly calling? You're partakers of eternity. It's always been. Y'all look at me like I don't get what you're saying. Go back to Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32. Remember I told you that we read these scriptures and we read the prophetic writings from the Spirit of God, future tense, when the reality is eternity is always a now. It's not a gonna be. The thing that changes is the realm that we're living in this natural arena. This arena changes. This is what's going to, at some point, be conformed to the blueprint that is eternity. Do you get that? This is what changes, not there. Eternity has not changed. It doesn't change. It is what it is. So, but when you see the Spirit of God speaking through these prophetic folks in like Isaiah, like he says in 33, he says, verse 20, he says, "Look upon Zion, the city of our appointed feast. Your eyes will see Jerusalem, an undisturbed habitation, a tent which will not be folded, its stakes will never be pulled up, nor any of its cords be torn apart. But there the majestic one, the Lord, will be with us, a place of rivers and wide canals." Verse 22 says, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. He will save us." And then go down to the end of verse 23. He says, "The lame will take the plunder, and no residents will say, 'I am sick.'" The people who dwell there will be forgiven their iniquity. See, we immediately think, well, he's talking about future Jerusalem. But Hebrews reveals that everything was designed in the earth arena after the blueprint of eternity, which has always been. So when he's speaking of a Zion where people say, no resident will say, "I'm sick," and the people there will be forgiven their iniquity. The reason that's true in the future here is because that's always been the blueprint in eternity. When Jesus came into the earth and he said, "The kingdom of God is here, go lay hands on the sick," he wasn't saying to do something for future tense sake. He wasn't saying to do something just because this is what I'm supposed to do right now. He was saying, you go tell people the kingdom of God is here, because the kingdom of God really is here. There are no sick people in eternity. I got news for you. I know this. You as an individual human being in the mind of Daddy, I don't care what life has done to you. I don't care what has happened to your physical being. You as a human being in the mind of Father, in the realm of eternity, you are flawless and you're completely free from any kind of infirmity at all. The reason we speak His Word is not because we're trying to get something to come to pass. The reason we speak His Word is because that's what is. It always has been. We're speaking from the realm of eternity where we're from, not from the realm of the natural arena where we came out of being born. God, please help them get this. Jesus is tempted of the devil. What does he say? After everything that the darkness tried to throw on him, he said, "No," and this is where our English Bible is not quite as clear as it could be. He said, he didn't say "it is written," he said "it stands written." It stands written. Why does it stand written? Because in eternity, it always has been. He was speaking from the realm of eternity, which is reality, not just invisible. He said, "It stands written. It stands written. It stands written." Do you notice nowhere in that dialogue did the devil ever say, "It does not"? Because Because he knew. Your words have been established always. So when this verse is talking about the, quote, New Jerusalem, where the residents will say, no one will say I'm sick, and there will be no one there with iniquity. The reason that's going to be is because he's going to bring what's in this natural arena in line with what has always been. Now, go back to Hebrews 4, and we'll be done. Hebrews 4. So Hebrews chapter 1, he's showing us that the individual that is the Son is the same individual that from eternity past was Lord. He's Lord because he existed before anything. We call Jesus Lord because he existed before anything. And John the Baptist said, he who exists before me has a greater rank than I. So Jesus is Lord because he existed before anybody. All things were created by him, and when he came into the earth as a son, he became the inheritor of all things. He told the people, and John wrote, he said, all things that belong to the Father are mine. But he turned around and gave every one of those sons and daughters, every single human being, they didn't even know it. He gave them everything that is Father's, because it all belonged to them as their accurate identity from eternity. So how do we act? You know, putting his word final authority, how do we act? Well, I've made this statement before, and I mentioned Hebrews 11, how so many people think faith is something they got to generate. I got to get faith. So they're trying to, you know, read verses, they're trying to get faith, and, you know, and they're exasperating themselves. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that is they're living like they're from this natural arena. And they're trying to get things from this place to change. And they think they have to have a faith for it to happen. When what they don't understand is the way the system is designed, a human being is not just a flesh of meat that lives on the natural planet. A human being is a spirit. They're rooted in eternity. Your identity is in eternity. Your perspective is supposed to be from eternity. What you see, what you say, I mean, how you act, how you respond to things is supposed to be from the perspective of eternity, not from things that are temporary in this natural arena that are subject to change. So how do we walk that out, and how do we act? If we're going to give his word final authority as it's revealed by the Spirit of Truth. It has to be revealed by the Spirit of Truth, because the Spirit of Truth is from the eternal perspective. He knows what this word says. The reason why it doesn't have any power when man gets a hold of it and screws it up with his thinking is because man's trying to take it from this natural place and make it make sense to his meathead brain. So, he tied the Son and the Lord together in chapter 1. They are one individual. Jesus fused what is eternal, what is now, with what has always been the case in the eternal realm. In other words, earth doesn't have one truth and eternity have another. Because of what Jesus did, the truth that is in the earth and the truth that is in eternity, which has always been eternity, it's now one. There's not two different truths. Now, darkness may run around in this earth and screw things up, but that doesn't change the fact that even though darkness may screw things up on this planet, if people will learn to walk and live from, as sons and daughters of the King, from the place of eternity as it's revealed in this book. Psalms 119 says everything on this earth is subject to everything that comes from there. Our challenge is we've been taught by a system that was completely, mostly natural in thinking, natural in its origins, trying to make sense of this thing that had no light from the Spirit of God, and we wonder why it's screwed up, makes people mad, hurts people, and does damage and doesn't work. So how do we act as a new creation man in this earth, in this thing called the body, in our minds and our emotions, Well, Hebrews 3 says, take care in verse 12, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Notice that's present tense. He says, but encourage one another today as it is today, as long as it's called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. See, the natural arena pounds on people until they get hardened and calloused. And that's what's happened to so many. I saw this interview the other day of some individuals on a very popular TV show, and every single one of them, their perspectives of life were what they were because life has hammered them from day one. And so just to survive, they've taken attitudes and perspectives just out of sheer survival. And so many people, they take those perspectives and they just say, well, you know, that's the way God is. But the natural arena has flavored that. That's not really who he is in eternity. That's whose situations say he is, but that's not who he is. So the writer of Hebrews is saying, look, don't get so locked into natural arena that you become hardened and calloused by the things that it does to you. That you lose your connection and your insight into reality, that what is eternal is really what's real. And there's a living God. And you're connected to him. In verse 14 of chapter 3, he says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance. Our assurance of what? Our assurance that everything that is in eternity is more real, and our identities really are from that arena, not from this arena. And what Jesus did as the Son, he did for the entire human race to reconnect a man to the truth of what is real and what is currently now in eternity. So chapter 4, he says, therefore let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, as any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, speaking of the Old Testament saints, the nation of Israel. The word they heard did not profit them, because it was not, I like this translation, it was not united by faith, or it was not united. What they heard was not united by that faith that was the evidence of things that are not seen. In other words, they were the folks that were the example of the seed. The sower sowed his words that were from eternity. They always have been. But because the natural realm was more real to those human beings, they simply just let the word fall to the seed, the word fall on the ground, and they just kept on walking, they just trampled right over it, because it didn't gel with the natural mind. They couldn't wrap their mind around how it could be so. How in the world are you going to feed all of us with all of these, with millions of us people, how are you going to feed all of us out here with nothing? The natural mind does not compute. And the word as seed fell on the ground, because it wasn't consistent with the natural way the mind traveled. They just trampled on top of it, and it didn't do them any good. The writer of Hebrews is saying, don't be that person. Don't let the things of the natural arena callous you to the place where there's no reality to the things that are in the Scriptures that are really anchored in eternity, which really are more true than what you're looking with your eyes. Because your origin is in Christ. Your origin is in the Lord. Your origin is in God. Let's make man in our image after our likeness. That's your origin. So how do we act? Well, he says it right here. He says that there's a rest that we're supposed to enter into. Now, what is that rest? Well, it says we who believe have entered that rest. What is that rest? As I swore in my wrath, he's quoting Old Testament verses, they will not enter my rest. He says, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he said somewhere concerning the seventh day, God rested on the seventh day and all of his works, and again, they shall not enter my rest. So now, he talks about a Sabbath day's rest. What is he talking about here? He said that God rested. How did God rest? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. He is upholding all things by the word of his power. You say, well, how does that rest in? Because his word has been established forever. So everything in this arena, he's not straining to try to keep it on the right path. He's not straining to keep the earth from stopping what it's doing. He's not straining. Why? Because everything in this arena is subject and a slave to the eternity, because eternity came first. And when the way he rests is he just simply says what is. You see, how does that relate to me? How do we act as new creation believers, new creation men and women, giving his word as it's revealed by his spirit, final authority? We just speak what is. I don't care if your body's sick. Stop trying to get it better. Did you hear what I just said? Stop trying to get healed. Speak like you are and enter into rest, because you are. Are y'all here?
Amen.
Because in eternity, you're not sick. In eternity, there's nothing wrong with you. In eternity, there's no flaws with you. Stop looking in the mirror and saying, what a loser. Because in eternity, that's not you. Speak from where you're from. All it's saying in Hebrews 1 verse 3 when it says that he's upholding all things by the word of his power, all he's saying is he simply continues just to speak what is real. Because he knows that everything in the earth arena is servant to that. The minute he says something different about the earth, guess what happens? It has to do what he said. But if he's declaring from the perspective of eternity that you're without sin, then why wouldn't you be speaking from the same reality? Because he's telling you what is. If he's speaking to you and telling you that you're healed and you're whole from the realm of eternity, then why don't you just rest speaking the same thing? Not trying to get things to change. Just live there. And things will change. Because the word said, Psalms 119, everything in this realm, including everything in your physical body, everything about every part of DNA of your physical body, is a servant to his word that's been established always. And he simply lives from that place. When he came into the earth, he was living from that place. It stands written. So we don't need to get... You find this, not even in this room, but you find this with Christians. They get all twisted up in their emotions. And they're trying so hard, trying to get what's in the Word to them. Because in their thought process, it isn't so. But it is so. It's always been so. The only reason it's going to be so in the future when we all go to heaven is because it's so now. It's been so since the foundation of the world. It's never changed. God's plan didn't evolve. He didn't decide after Jesus went to the cross, well, I think it's good to have human beings that are free from sickness, free from infirmities, free from any physical anything. I think it's good, that's been Ephesians 1. He chose to see you holy and blameless in His presence from the foundation of the world. Did you guys get anything from this at all? Folks, I'm telling you, this isn't a truth we just hear on Sundays and say, well, that was cool. You've got to get this and learn it and study the verses and study. I want you to read these scriptures. Read the New Testament now. Read the writings that Paul and Peter wrote. Read those writings from the perspective of not some religious perspective or not some theology we're supposed to learn, but from the fact that He's speaking to you from the realm of now in eternity. It's always been, it always has, it always is, it's right now. And the only reason it's going to be in the future is because it's right now. That's why it's so ridiculous for us as new creations to say, well, God uses sickness to teach us, and bull. Because eternity, there's never been any infirmity. And eternity doesn't change. The blueprint for a human being was to be one spirit with God. No infirmity and no sin. Jesus simply came into the earth as a man, took on the name of Son, and bought it and secured it for a human being. So now both earth, the reality of what's in the earth, and the reality that's always been eternity have been fused together as one existence. So all He's simply saying is, as a new creation, just rest in what you see, rest in what you read, rest in what you, just say things like they are. Don't say things because you're trying to get something like you don't have it. Just speak from the reality of what is. He called that the Sabbath rest. He gave the example. God rested on the seventh day. What do you think? He just shut up? Well, some theologists say that. He doesn't talk to us anymore. Double bull. He's upholding all things by speaking the reality of what is eternity. And that's how all things are upheld, and that's how He rests. So therefore, in your situation, I don't care what it is, if your finances suck, what does eternity say your finances are supposed to be? I challenge you, go into the Psalms and you highlight every single verse where it talks about the blessing of the Lord. Understand that every time you read those verses, it's not a future tense thing. The Spirit of God has simply pulled back the veil and said, this is what eternity looks like, and this is who you are. And this is what you're supposed to have. So then just simply rest. And when your emotions get all tweaked about your finances, laugh at them and say, you know what? And you begin to declare what is from eternity. If your physical body is giving you problems, if you read in Isaiah 33, it even talks about the fact that there'll be no stammering lips in heaven. In this new Zion. Why? Because in eternity, there is no stammering lips. You in eternity don't have any kind of issues. Speak like you live there. Because you do. It's not where you're going when you die. That's the most damnable theology that has ever been introduced into the church. Because it severed you from the reality of what is now. You got it. Everybody stand up. I told you we were going someplace. Just raise your hands to heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank You for these people. And Father, I just thank You that You cause this reality to explode on the inside of us. To where we become a people that Your vantage point and Your reality of what is really real explodes when we read Your word. And we'll immediately latch on to the truths that the Spirit of God shows us along these lines. And we'll walk in them. We'll begin to think like that. And we'll begin to view our perspectives that way and respond accordingly. And we thank You, Lord, that You cause our understanding to be so grounded in this truth, that we begin to interact with other people the same way. And we begin to see what you see about them. And we begin to speak into their life who they are because of what you show us. Because that's the real them. We begin to lay hands on the sick. And we don't lay hands on the sick hoping that when we say amen, it'll happen. We lay hands on the sick because we're simply communicating and declaring over this natural arena that's a servant to the eternal realm. We're simply declaring what is. And right now, in the name of Jesus, if there's infirmity in anybody's body, if there's issues in anybody's body, I'm speaking to you right now. And I tell you that you have to let this body go. Because this body is a temple of the Spirit of God that has its origin in eternity, in the Son, and in the Lord. And you will not contaminate the body. You will not twist it up. You will not damage it. Because it belongs to Jesus. And by His stripes, body, you stand whole. You stand delivered. So you can rejoice and you can respond to that, and you can begin to cause the DNA of that body. You can begin to come into line with the Word, the wholeness of the way you were created, and you can begin to be invigorated and begin to receive that life and just begin to, every tissue, every fire, like Moses' face, absorb the life of God. You just can absorb the life of God and you just begin to be made whole. The King on His throne declares from the realm of eternity, He's made all things new. Therefore, you are new. And you will respond. And you will be free right now in the name of Jesus. Everybody agree with that prayer said? Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.